It's my privilege to share the word with you this morning. Very excited about that. But before I share, I just want to ask Yvette to share something. We had a prayer meeting before the service, and God showed a specific picture, and it was so much confirmation of what I want to share with you this morning. So I just wanted to share what she saw. Thanks, Yvette.
So the topic of today's words is women of influence, and while we were praying, I received a picture, and the picture was a key. It was a golden, beautiful key, and then close to it was a cage, like a bird cage, and then the key unlocked the cage, and out of the cage came so much goodness. It wasn't funny things, it was goodness. And also then what God told me is that this key is the word that Sonika is going to bring. She's going to equip us with the knowledge of how to unlock the goodness inside of people, whether it be your husband, whether it be men at work, anyone really. But for her, she's going to talk a lot to the married woman today and equip those that aren't married yet. But basically this key did everything out of love as well. It didn't force the cage open. It unlocked the cage with love, and it had a good influence on the goodness that came out of this cage. So yeah, that's basically what I...
Thanks, Yvette. It'll make sense to you as I go along. So I think many of you have heard the saying that behind every man there's a great woman. Okay, all of us have heard that. some people like that, some people don't like that, but this is not really what I'm going to talk about this morning, even though there is kind of a link. But I've been married now for 12 years, believe it or not, 12 years. And I've always been very fascinated how different a man and a woman can be. It's God's sense of humor, I think, to create male and female and to make us work together. I think it's an exciting journey, but it's also a journey where we really need God. We really need God. But what I've also seen that in the midst of all these differences between a man and a woman, there can be an extreme powerful unity. And even in the midst of diversity, even in the midst of two people being very different, God can unite you in such a way that you can change the world, that you can move mountains. There's a unity that the Bible talks about that can move mountains. So I've been really fascinated by the male communication system and then the female communication system. Now, I have the male communication system here. They speak in blue, okay? They speak in blue. My boy just loves these. He just wants to wear them all the time. This is the female communication system. We speak in pink. Or choose any color. If you don't like pink, okay, choose any other color. All girls don't like pink. This is the male communication system. They speak, they perceive things in blue, they speak in blue, they think in blue, and they do everything in blue. Okay, we do everything in pink or in a different language. And I've noticed two things in the 12 years that I'm married, that I can either speak in blue and powerfully influence my husband, or I can keep speaking in pink and not getting through to him. Okay? And I've learned that if I really want to influence, if in a marriage relationship, and I'm not only going to talk about marriage this morning, but this is partly of what I'm going to focus on. If I want to be a woman of influence, I need to speak the language. I need to learn to speak the language of the decision maker, whoever the decision maker is. I need to learn to transfer whatever I think and feel and perceive and understand into a language that makes sense to the person who will eventually make the decision. And that has been a journey for me. So I've made it my mission in life to learn my husband's language. I've made it my mission. I've made it my highest priority to learn his language. Because I know I have something to communicate. I have something to say. But if I don't speak his language, it's going to fall to the ground. He's not going to understand me. He's not going to hear me. He's not going to listen to me. And therefore, I need to learn how to speak his language. Okay, so maybe many of you have been frustrated in this area. Or is it only I? Many of you maybe have been frustrated in this area where you want to communicate in blue, but you only know pink vocabulary. It's the only thing you know, or nobody has ever told you that pink is not always going to work. That your way and your methods and the way you see the world and things, it's not always going to work. So I want to take you to a scripture in Proverbs 31. Verse 33. It's that chapter in Proverbs that we either hate or love. Some people hate that woman. They can't stand her because she seems way too perfect and way too amazing. And we can't get to her standards, but we're not so much going to focus on her today. I'm going to show you the one scripture that talks about her husband in that chapter. Proverbs 31. 33, it says, a husband is known at the gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. Now, many people joke about the scripture and they say that, yeah, she's doing everything, because if you read the chapter, she runs a business, she gets up early in the morning, she does everything, and her husband sits at the gates. But let me just bring perspective. The gate was, in that culture, in that culture, that was the place where they made the decisions. Okay, the men would sit at the gate, they would talk about very important things, and they would make the decisions. So he was not only sitting at the gate, okay? Just for those of you who feel very, very frustrated with this man who's just sitting at the gate, he was not only just sitting at the gate. So I believe God calls us as women not to dominate, not to manipulate, and not to control, but to powerfully influence in a godly way. And to do that, we need to learn how to speak the language of the one who sits at the gate making the decisions. It could be your husband. In this situation, it is the husband of this woman. It could be your boss. It could be your dad. It could be anybody in a position of leadership where you need to transfer a message to that person. But you need to learn to speak his or even her language. And I really believe with all of my heart that God wants to give us a voice as a woman, but we need to learn how to speak the language of the one who sits at the gates. There's a woman in the Bible, all of you know her. There's a book in the Bible called Esther that's about a woman. She was a Jewish girl, an orphan girl, who became queen. She became the wife of a Persian king. She was beautiful, but that was not the only reason why she became queen. The Bible says she obtained favor in the eyes of everybody who saw her. She obtained favor in the eyes of everybody who saw. Even before she became queen, God gave her favor. So obviously she had learned a way to speak and to present herself that gave her favor. And I'm not going to read anything in Esther, but there was one man who wanted to destroy the whole nation of Jews in that time. He was upset with one specific Jew, and he decided he's going to just kill all the Jews. And he got the king behind him to make a decision to basically do that. And Esther realized that because she was a Jew, she realized she must do something to save a nation. But now she must also speak to the king, who was also her husband. And what is so amazing is on the day that she decided to speak to him, he received her. There was a rule that you can't just go to the king, even though you are his wife. I'm so thankful it's not the same today. You can't just go to the king. You must be called. He must ask for you. You can't just go to him. And she went to him with a petition. She went to him with a question, with a request. And he received her that day. And with all of my heart, I believe that she spoke his language. It was 4 years. He was king for 4 years. Up until that point, she spoke a language that he received and understand. So on the day that it was really, really, really important for him to listen to her, he did. And with all of my heart, I believe there will come a time where our husbands or our boss or somebody in a specific leadership position must listen to what God has put on your heart. But for him to be able to listen to you on that particular very important day, we need to learn how to speak his language so that on that day he's open to receive from us. Are you all with me? This is so, God just opened my eyes for this. And ultimately what happened with Esther, the king did not only receive her, he said to her, I will give you half of my kingdom, which means co-rulership with him as king. He also gave her, at the end of Esther, he gave her his signet ring, which also gave her even more authority. But she spoke his language of honor. She spoke a language in such a way and in such an amazing manner that he listened to her on the day that it was really, really important. Proverbs 31 verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. And if we want to be a powerful influence as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, I really believe we need to learn how to speak this language of honor. How to speak it. The scripture says, strength and honor are her clothing. So it's something we can actually put on. It's not something that is just exclusive for certain people. We can say, God, I want to take this garment of honor and I want to put it on. I want to learn how to speak this language of honor. And I just want to give you a few very practical things that I've learned in my 12th year of marriage and how it changed my life in terms of my relationship with my husband, who is ultimately the king and the prophet and the priest of our home. How many married girls, ladies, do we have here this morning? Okay. For those of you who are single, I wish somebody would have taught me more of these things. My mom and my dad are here this morning, and my mom told me the most precious chunks and pieces of wisdom about marriage. Many, many, many things I learned from her when I was still at school. When I was 15, 16, 17 years old, my mom would say to me, you must pray for your husband now already. I was 16 years old, or even earlier than that, you pray for your husband now. Or she would tell me, Sonika, these women who go to these tea parties and they talk badly about their husbands. No, it's not good. It's not good. You never do that. You never do that. So she told me she taught me so many amazing things about how to relate to my husband. And I was a teenager. So I just want to encourage you, if there's anything that I say this morning that's maybe not 100% applicable to your situation now, let me tell you, 6 months from now, or a year from now, or 2 years from now, because you're all going to get married. You're all going to come and do the marriage preparation course at our house. So looking forward to that. So then all of these things might come back to you, and like a 100-meter sprint, you're just going to be out of your blocks first because you're going to know these things. So I'm going to focus on 3 things this morning. How to powerfully influence the one who sits at the gate making decisions. And for the next while, I just want to focus on our relationship with our husbands. Okay, so how do we speak in a language that they understand? How do we communicate pink but transfer it to a bluish color that they can follow. How do we do that? So first of all, we need to treat our husbands like a king. But listen now. We need to treat them like a king. Sounds very, very easy. Even if they do not act like a king. We need to treat them like a king, even if they do not act like a king. And I know many of your hair just stood up. Thank you. Stood up. Because no, it doesn't work like that. I've learned that the more, especially in times when my husband does not act like a king, when I still treat him like a king, something happens to him. He wants to act like a king. He wants to change. He wants to become more like the king and the priest and the prophet in our home because I treat him like that even if he does not act like that. There's a powerful, God has given us as women a very, very powerful tool to transform our husbands into a king even though they do not always act like a king. Okay, so I'm going to give you a very practical example. We've had many plans in terms of making the bed in the morning. We've been married for 12 years, okay? So we have our own rules in the house. And we've had many different rules. But about a year or a year and a half ago, I said to Andre, can't you just make the bed for me in the morning? Because I must sort out Vian and I must... He takes Fionn to school, but I get him ready for school. Okay, so now it's the bed. And, it takes, 2 minutes? I don't know how long it takes for you to make a bed. Maybe 30 seconds for some of you. But it maybe it doesn't take any time because you don't do it. But, okay, we're not talking about that. And he said, of course I'll do it. And I just want to encourage you that your husband is really willing, more than willing, to do things for you in the house. And I'll explain to you now why they sometimes don't do it, but I'll come to that now. So, okay, now it's his job, okay? It's his job. He's making the bed every morning. So that was about a year and a half ago, I think, we started this arrangement. And I had to a few times make a decision whether I'm going to treat him like a king or whether I'm going to treat him like a child. This is just one example. I can give you many different examples. Because if the bed is not made at 8 o'clock, for example, then I can feel he's not doing his job. And I can treat him like a child and tell him, but listen, what's going on here? I mean, we have this agreement. And I had to decide, what I've noticed, if I do treat him like a child, he's completely demotivated to continue with his job. But if I do treat him like the king, so even if he hasn't made the bed, I give him the benefit of the doubt. I speak to myself, I say he's distracted, he's busy, he's got more important things to focus on, and I must just give him grace. Okay, so I decided just to leave it. Completely leave it, even if it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I leave it. I forget about it. And don't pretend as if you never leave your bed like that. Okay. I just leave it. This is now, as I say, quite a while ago. And I just decided I'm going to leave it in his capable hands. Because let me tell you, your husband is really capable. He's earning an income, he's going to work, and there's lots of people in his workplace who think he is Mr. Incredible, let me tell you. And we must, sooner than later, at home, also treat him like Mr. Incredible and not like a child. And I know it's frustrating sometimes for us because we feel in the home it's a different environment. But I've discovered that we have this powerful influence that if we treat them like a king, they start acting like a king. Let me tell you, the bed nowadays is made before Andre leaves the house, before he takes Vian to school. He said to me the other day, "Now I can't leave the bed anymore. It must look right." He's now very focused and very committed to this job. But let me tell you, what I did is, when the bed was not made, I left it. I tried to ignore it. I really tried just to ignore it. When it was made, I said to him, "Oh, wow! This is so cool. It brightens up my day. It makes me feel so much better walking into the room." And then we work from home, okay? So I'm in my personal space all the time. And I decided I'm going to celebrate the things that he does right. Not right, but that blesses me. And I'm going to not only ignore, but also pray about whatever bugs me. Because that is our strategy, let me tell you. The strategy is not just to ignore and go on with life because you're going to be totally frustrated. The strategy is to whatever bothers you, to take it to the Lord and to be patient. And whatever blesses you, to make a huge thing about it. Even if it's making the bed before 8 o'clock in the morning. Whatever blesses you. You know what? When it comes to driving, our husband's driving, sometimes we tell them the shortest route. And we can't understand why he can't see it, that it's so obvious that he's taking a detour. Or whatever is bothering you. I know driving is quite a big thing for many people, even though it's completely silly. Okay, it's completely a silly thing, but it works people up. Female and male works us up. Now, let me encourage you. Allow the King to take whatever road he wishes. Allow him. He's the King. Okay, you must tell yourself, my husband's the King. My husband is the King. He is the King. He can take whatever road he wishes. When it comes to speeding, you know, Andre is a very safe driver. Let me just say that as well. I feel very safe with him. He's a very good driver. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when we're in a hurry, I'm a very cautious driver, hey? I don't know how many of you are also cautious drivers, but I'm a very careful driver. I don't take chances. Not often. not maybe once in 6 months, I'll tell you. I don't know. But Andre is like this Jason Bourne kind of, you know, looking for a nice, just like a nice risk to take sometimes. But he's a very careful driver. But I've discovered that if I am going to focus on whatever bothers me the whole time, it's not going to change, let me tell you. And it's not going to bless me. It's going to frustrate me. So, strategy when it comes to driving, or your husband's driving. You, whenever he drives the way you like it, you make a big thing about it. Like, oh, I don't know, think your own little sentence. Just come up with whatever will bless him, but think about something that will communicate that this is the moment that he must know that you are really happy. Because let me tell you, they want to make us happy. He wants to please you. And when he does not drive your little perfect route, just give him grace. Just tell yourself, he is the King. He can do whatever he wants. Okay? I know it takes a lot of guts to do that, but it sets you free. And then whatever bothers you, you take it to God. You take it to God. Let him tell his story the way he wants to tell his story. Don't interrupt him. Don't say, not 3 hours, 1.5. It's his story. If he wants to exaggerate, if he wants to get confused with his facts, leave the King to tell his story. Leave him. And if he really bothers you, you say to God, "Lord, please help him get his facts right." But interrupting him all the time. He's, you know, at a braai and he's telling his story. And he said, no. Not 5,000 people. 3,000. Just allow your husband to be the king. Allow him. I know maybe for some of you this is really basic, but I've learned that, you know, we all have our buttons. And depending on your personality, the devil will do anything to get us out of a position of influence into a position of manipulating and dominating. And you might get your way. You might get your way for a little while, but you're not going to have intimacy. You're not on the day when it really matters, are necessarily going to get through to the one who sits at the gate making the decision. And that is why we need to position ourselves in such a way that the day when they really need to hear us, they need to listen. And they will want to listen because they trust you. They trust us. Okay? So pray about whatever bothers you. Jump up and down about those things that bless you. Okay? That is our strategy. We need to trust in the Lord. You know, we need to ask God to show us our husband's potential. And that can be a friend, a brother, anybody, you know, that you really have a good friendship with, but sometimes you feel that this one's got so much potential, but the person is not, you know, you've got all this potential, but you're doing this. Doesn't make sense. And God showed me many pictures about Andre 12 years ago when we were still dating. Just like simple pictures, how he would greet somebody, a solid handshake. And the look in his eyes, the confidence, the security, the boldness. Just simple pictures of him that he will become in future. And at that stage, he wasn't necessarily those pictures that I saw. And let me tell you, in 12 years, he became all of those pictures and more. All of them. But I had to focus on what God showed me about him, not on every little flaw that bugged me 12, 14 years ago. I had to allow God to do something in him. I had to be patient. I had to trust the Lord. You know, I was worried about in our first year of marriage. How many of you have been married for maybe a year or just over a year? There's a couple of you. Okay. In your first year of marriage, you discover a lot of things about this king that you married, this hero that you didn't necessarily know about. So there were like stupid things that really bothered me. But listen now, in terms of having children one day and daddy's example to the kids, you know, I was very uptight about, you know, the example that Andre will, you know, show and give to his children one day. Now we just married. Okay, we just married. Now Andre would tell me, but we don't have children yet. We don't have children yet. I would say to him, no, but we need to, you know, it's not just going to change overnight. We need to work and we need to get ready to be a good example to our kids. And he was just looking at me like, where do you come from? And now we're not even planning for kids yet. Please give me a break, you know. And I realized, God taught me a very powerful lesson that day, because I realized that sometimes we get so uptight about the effect of a present issue on the future, or the result of the possible result of a present issue. We get so uptight. We feel, no, this is not good because 5 years from now, this can't be like this anymore. Can't work like this anymore. But there's 5 years in which God can do something extraordinary. He can do anything. You know, in my own life, I'm not the same person as the girl who got married at 24. I mean, I'm changed. But God in it, we can't change one another. We can't change our husbands. We can't, by nagging and manipulating and dominating, transform them into this perfect man that you know he is, but why isn't he acting like this perfect man? So we want to kind of put them in this, or manipulate them into this person that we know that they are, and we don't always understand why they don't act like that. But instead of trusting in God and having patience, we try to manipulate him and work him into this man that we believe that he is. You see, and that is our strength as a woman, but it's also our weakness, because we are the helper. So you can argue, but after all, God made me his helper. Let me help him, because he needs help. Okay, you can argue it anyway, but manipulating is not going to get him to that place. We have to be patient. We have to put our trust in the Lord. Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." That's not on the screen. Maybe you can write it down if you would like to. Proverbs 21 verse 1. It says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. In other words, we can pray that God will change the heart of the king, because God directs his heart. God directs the heart of the king. It's in the hand of the Lord. And I have so many times prayed about things that God changed. Sometimes I spoke, sometimes I didn't speak at all, and it changed. It changed because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And what we also often do, instead of trusting in God and being patient, we start comparing our husband to other men. We start comparing and we wish, I wish my husband can be a little bit more like that man. But what we do is we take a good quality or a good personality trait of one man, we take that good thing. We don't want the bad. No, we just want the good. Okay, we take that, we take another something here, another something there, and we create this perfect being that does not exist. That does not exist. Because you can, Andre is making the bed every day. Oh, I'm going to speak to my husband when he gets home from the men's camp. Because this is now it. He must do it as well. But maybe your husband does something that Andre never does. There's a good possibility. That your husband does something for you that my husband does not do. And when we start comparing and when we create this person that's not real, he's not real, he does not exist, he's not a man or a woman without any flaws or weaknesses. But we so easily can come and be frustrated with our own husband and wish he can be a little bit more like that man. And we fall in a huge trap of not celebrating anymore the good that God has put in him, but focusing only on the bad, and then our hearts get distracted, completely distracted. It's easy to find dirt when we dig for gold. It's easy to find the dirt. We need to look for the gold. And this is where the last one come in, respect and admiration. I want to encourage you, for the single girls, let me just talk to you for a minute. I want to encourage you to write down whatever you are looking for in a man. I did that. I wrote down a long list, and every now and again I would just change it. Because I change. We are forever changing. I had certain priorities when I was 16 or 17 or 18 years old that changed when I was 22. Something that wasn't important for me became really important for me. And I changed my list, but then I put it back and I said, okay, God, I leave it with you. I leave it with you. You know what? You have the opportunity to choose right. with God's help and by His grace, because we do this in a partnership with the Lord, you have the opportunity to choose right. It is a privilege. Do you know how many women do not have that opportunity, or they haven't had that because they got married when they did not know God? They got to know the Lord at a later stage. So they never had the opportunity to choose right when it comes to a husband. Do not settle for second best, or do not settle for anything that God has not planned for you, destined for you. Do not settle for that. Please do not settle for that. So go home, make your list, and give it to God. Say, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I want. And it is amazing also how God knows you. He knows your heart. I mean, there were things on my list that was really not important, but God knew it. I can't even remember my list anymore. But God gave me so much more because He knows me. He created you. He created you. So don't fear that God's going to give you somebody that you're not going to like if you leave it in His hands. Because what does God know after all about romance? And God knows everything about everything, okay? He created us. He knows you. He knows your heart. If you need a strong man, God will give you a strong man. Some of you need strong men in your life. And you will get a strong man who will lead you. Will lead you. So leave it to the Lord. Trust Him. For the married women, your homework is, I want you to make a list, to go home, make a list of everything that you respect and admire in your husband. Everything that you like, that you love. Make a list. And if you can't think of anything right now, it doesn't mean that it's not there. You know, it's amazing how the devil so easily steals these things. You know, when you date a guy, you think he's dismissed, incredible. And when you marry him, you discover a few things that you maybe don't like. And now all of a sudden, that is in your face all the time. Because you focus on that all the time. Sorry. And I've seen that. Taking your focus off that which bothers you and focusing on those things that you really like, because you will find quite a few if you start thinking about it. You will find a lot. And don't think about other men. That's so amazing in them, because we can so easily feel, no, but I just wish my husband will be a little bit more like that man. No, forget about that. Focus on your husband. What God has given to you. And write it down and focus on that up until a point where you can share it with Him from the bottom of your heart. And then you cook His favorite meal. Not the meal you think He should eat, you know, all the veggies and stuff. Cook His favorite meal, whatever it is, or get His favorite takeaways. I don't care what you do. Just get whatever he likes and take out your card and say to him, I just want to share with you these things that really, really bless me in you. You know, Andrew and I often do that. Not often, like once a year. It feels often because we've done it a lot. And we both make a list. I normally come with a suggestion, so it's totally fine if the wife comes with a suggestion. Okay, I say to him, like end of last year, I said to him, let's make a list. It's always a challenge for the men, okay? But if you have learned to speak his language, he will gladly do it for you, even though it's a little bit of an effort for him. I said to Andre, let's make a list, 15 reasons why I will marry you again. Now, for me, it sounds very exciting. Okay, I'm going to make my list. Because I can think of 100 reasons why I would marry him again. And now, let me tell you, we've made many similar things, like 15 things or 20 things, or just things that changed in you over the last 12 years that is special to me. And then sometimes I divide it: husband, pastor, daddy. And then I say, okay, as a daddy, you've grown in four years. This is how you blessed me as a dad. This is how you blessed me as a pastor, because that is Andre's life. And in terms of your husband's work, that is a very big part of his life. And I want to encourage you sometimes to go to his workplace and just sit there and see how he operates. Go into his office, make an appointment. I'm very serious. Go to his office. You will be amazed at the respect your husband gets at work. Go to his office, make an appointment. See, can I please see Mr. Kruger at 10 o'clock on Monday morning? Phone his secretary. And you make an appointment. You look at his office. Look and see what he does at work. Because often we feel that our husbands are incapable at home. And I believe the reason why we often feel that they're incapable at home is because we want them to do it our way. And if they don't do it perfectly, 110% our way, we feel that they are incapable of doing a proper job. Let me tell you, your husband's a very capable man. He either runs a business or he's in a position where he earns money, where he's got employees under him, where he's delegating, where he's having meetings, where he's making decisions every day of the week. And sometimes we just need to go to his office and observe. Observe how his secretary says, Mr. Kruger, there's a lady who wants to see you at 10 o'clock. Is that okay? How's your schedule? Okay, no, okay, all right. I'll tell her that it's fine. Only half an hour? Okay, no, that's perfect. No problem. Just go to your husband's office. Observe how the people speak to him, how they treat him. I tell you, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. Because often we have a certain idea, and your husband is far more amazing and capable than you might ever think. So I want to encourage you, back to our list, okay, for the married women. Make your list, share it with your husband after you've got him something nice to eat that he really likes. Share it with him and see how that's going to change your relationship. See how that's going to change your relationship. It's communicating blue, okay? Blue. You must learn how to communicate blue. Blue, 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 blue. We need to learn. And we need God's help. Okay, so please don't try this in your own strength. It's not going to work. It might work for a while, but you're going to be really tired and depressed and frustrated because it's not in us. It's not in me to love my husband until the day we die. It's not in me. So just let all the pressure go off your shoulders. Okay? There's no pressure. It's not in us. It's not in us to speak this blue language. And you say, God, you've only given me pink vocabulary. How on earth am I going to do this? By God's help and by his grace. God designed a marriage relationship not to work unless he helps us. It's awesome. It's a good place to be. We need God's help. And he will give you everything that you need. Everything that you need. Proverbs 31 verse 12. It's my last scripture. Proverbs 31 verse 12. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and she does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. Good, not evil. Ask yourself, does my husband trust me? Does he trust me with all of his heart? Does the heart of your husband safely trust you? Are you good to him? Or do you manipulate and control and dominate to get your way? Do you have the ability to to translate your pink perceptions, ideas, passions, feelings, emotions, wants, needs, all of those things into a language, into something that your husband will be able to receive and understand. Because let me tell you, there will come a day when you want him to listen to you. There will come a day when you really want him to listen to you. And that is the day when all this hard work is going to be rewarded. So pick your battles. You know, it's actually a war. This is an almost like a war zone. And sometimes we have to lose a few battles to win the war. This is a war for your husband's heart. And if you must sometimes lose a few battles along the way, it's not the end of the world. If you must go back to him and say, I'm sorry for my 2%, because you feel your husband's 98% wrong. If you must first go back and say, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry for my part in this mess. And you feel now you've lost a battle because you were actually right. Let go. Let go of that battle. Because if you want to win the war, you need to lose a few battles. Which means you need to let go of your way. I am right. This is important to me. Don't you understand? You sometimes need to let go of that. We need to let go of that in order to pave a way to his heart, that on the day when something is really important to us, that he will gladly listen. He will gladly receive you. He will gladly do it for you or change things for you because you've learned to speak his language. You've learned to speak his language. We need to learn how to speak the language of the one who sits at the gate. It could be your husband. I've spoken about mostly about wife-husband relationships, but it's strongly, strongly on my heart. And I really believe that God wants to give us a voice as women. We're not insignificant. We're not inferior. But if we do not know who we are in the Lord, if we do not know that we are significant, then we will start manipulating. If we feel that we are just a doormat, then you will manipulate because you don't want to feel like that. You're not a doormat. You will never be that in God's eyes. God fights for you. Let me tell you, when we get this right, and as I say, I make lots of mistakes. And how I fix my mistakes is by saying, I am sorry. I cry for at least an hour. And I think, those other people also fight. Oh, my world's falling apart. My world falls apart when we have a fight, okay? Or whatever you want to call it. Andre says we don't fight. He says we just, I don't know, he used some other words. It's just a disagreement. I don't know. But we literally can't sleep if things are not fine between us. And I think it's a blessing. We can't operate. We can't be in the same room. We have to talk it through and put it behind us. And you know what is so amazing about everything that we deal with? We put it behind us. We literally put it behind us because we fight it through in the sense that we wrestle. We wrestle it through until we understand each other, until we connect. And this is by God's help. So I don't always do this right. But whenever I do it wrong, I say, God, please help me to fix it. Please help me to humble myself, to say that I'm sorry, and to fix this. And I really feel that God wants to give us more power and more influence than you can ever imagine. You see, if I want to close every door for myself, to speak, to preach, to say what God has laid in my heart, I must start manipulating my husband to get my way. If I want to close every door for myself as a woman, I must start manipulating. And yes, I know in the world it happens. I know we don't always have good examples in our workplaces because they're the women, they fight for their place and their promotion and whatever they feel they're entitled to. But let me tell you, God promotes. God fights for you. If we treat our husbands like a king, if we come to that place where we can speak a language of honor, God will fight for you. God will fight for you. I can tell you so many stories of times when God spoke to my husband, when he said to him, Andre, go and make right with Sonica. You hurt her. I didn't even say anything because I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to speak his blue language at that very moment. And then God spoke to him. There's a way that God will fight for you as a woman when you learn to speak a language of honor. He will fight for you. He will promote you. He will open doors for you. And the moment we start kicking open the doors ourselves, God says, okay, you're on your own. And that is why I think we experience so much frustration as women, because we have so much to offer. We have so much to give. We have so much to influence. But we it's this brick wall and we can't get through it. But it's because we try to get over the wall ourselves or to kick the door open. We must allow God to open doors for us to speak, to say what is on our hearts and to voice our opinions. And God will do that if we learn to speak a language of honor, and it will be received. It will be well received if we trust him to translate our pink into blue. Amen? Amen. Let's just, please stand with me. The worship team can come up, please. Let's just close our eyes. Father, I thank you this morning that you are the creator, Lord, of mankind. God, you know how we work as women, Lord. You know how a man thinks, how a woman thinks, Lord. And you know the power in unity. And I just really feel that God wants to release something this morning, a unity between you and your husband that you've never experienced before. A powerful unity. A powerful unity. God, and this is what I pray for in Jesus' name, that you'll release in us a desire to speak a language of honor. Release in us, God, a desire to treat our husbands like a king, even when they don't act like a king. Release in us the grace, Lord, to get this right. And when we don't, we'll humble ourselves, Lord Jesus. Repent. We'll also learn the language of saying that I am sorry. Please forgive me. So I just welcome you here, God. Just pray that you'll come and minister to us right now in our hearts, in Jesus' name. I just want to ask if there's any one of you, married or single, it's not really, doesn't really matter, because this is something we need to learn as women. If there's any one of you that feel you want to let go of manipulation and control and move to a place where you speak a language of honor and where God fights for you, I just want you to raise your hand. I know it's a bit humbling sometimes, these things. I really feel it will. It's going to change something in your heart. Okay, thanks. You can drop your hands. It's just an acknowledgement to the Lord. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll move us from a woman who wants her way, who wants her way at all cost and manipulate and dominate to get it, to a place, Lord, where we surrender to you. We say, God, we trust you. We trust you with all of our hearts. God, I release a godliness right now in the name of Jesus. I release, Lord, over all these women, a godliness, a hunger and a thirst, Lord, to be a woman of power and of influence in the right way. I release over them, Lord, a hunger and a thirst to speak the language of the one who sits at the gates, the one who makes decisions, the king. And I pray, Lord, that you'll transform us in the name of Jesus. Transform us, Lord. Help us to surrender. Help us to let go in Jesus' name. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you for the power that you have to change us. To change us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll come and bring change right now in the name of Jesus. Bring change, Lord. Pray that you'll bring change right now in the name of Jesus Christ.